Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We want to get right to today's program. Is it open season on police officers? What is happening? Reports are that within the last 9 days, 4 police officers have been murdered. And our hearts right now, we want to say this publicly, go out to our law enforcement. We want you to know that we support you. And a great majority of Americans support law enforcement. But for 4 police officers in 9 days to be murdered, listen, this has to stop. This has to stop. And we want to encourage you today to stay with our program as we continue to talk about the importance of law enforcement and the importance for us to be able to have, you know, disagreements, but be able to talk about these disagreements within a civil manner and not in a way that invokes violence and not in a way that promotes the murder of people. You know, I'm thinking about right now, Officer Darren Goforth, who in Houston, Texas, was pumping gas and was executed and shot 15 times in the back of the head. I want you to watch this report as they begin to share what happened to Officer Goforth.
Houston police say 47-year-old Sheriff's Deputy Darren Goforth was just filling his car up with gas when he was ambushed by a gunman and shot several times. Goforth died at the scene.
I have been in law enforcement 45 years. I don't recall another incident this cold-blooded and cowardly.
Following an intense manhunt, local media reports that police now have a possible suspect in custody, but have not determined a motive for the shooting. Goforth was reportedly a 10-year veteran of the force and leaves behind a wife and 2 children.
That's absolutely horrible. Our hearts go out with you know, for Officer Goforth, for his family, for the whole Harris County police force. You know, this has to stop. This suspect has been apprehended, he's been arrested, but just a day or two later, another police officer in Illinois was murdered and was killed and was found in an open marsh. When we get back from this break, we're going to continue to talk about the importance for us to come together to pray for our law enforcement and to say this talk, this chant that's going around, pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon, that has to stop. And we want to be able to pray for our law enforcement, and we're going to talk about how important they are to our community. My goodness, the 4 police officers in the last 9 days have been murdered. And this has to stop. You know, we talked about police officer Darren Goforth from Houston, Texas. I believe it was Harris County police force. And to think that, you know, sometimes we disassociate a person in law enforcement from having a family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have children, they have wives, they have husbands, they have people that love them. They're human, they're people. And this man was pumping gas, and someone came from behind him, shot him in the head, and shot him 15 times. And now his life is over. That's serious. It's serious for anyone to have been murdered. But there's a strategy that's being waged. Ephesians 6 tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, evils of darkness. And there's a strategy being waged to incite Americans against authority. Any authority. And Steve and I were talking before the, you know, during the break about how we've been talking about this and sharing about this for over a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we actually shared this very time last year that some kids attacked a park ranger. And it was actually in August of 2014 that they kicked him in the head. And it's significant because we're talking about this, and it's just like, of all things, it's just like the open attack against authority, kicking someone in the head. It's just like...
It's been building.
Exactly.
It's been building.
And we can't just ignore that.
No, I mean, some reports are that they want to bring in eventually a nationalized police force.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, if this stuff like this happens, who's going to want to be a police officer anymore?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who's going to want to put themselves in harm's way to protect and to serve? And I understand. I understand that, that there are elements, that there are, you know, just like in any other profession, that there could be and there have been, and they could presently right now be some bad officers. We'll catch a clue. There's some bad doctors. There are some bad teachers. There are some bad mechanics. There are folks that are doing bad in any profession. But the way to resolve that is not that we go murder them,
mm-hmm.
but maybe we get reprimands. Maybe they get counseling. Maybe they get fired and removed. But we don't kill them. We don't end their life, and we don't incite others to be able to do that either.
Mm-hmm.
I think about police officer Charles Joe Blinwitz. They nicknamed him G.I. Joe, Steve. G.I. Joe. And reports are that he was patrolling in an industrial area in the suburb of Fox Lake, Illinois. And shortly before 8 a.m., the officer radioed dispatch to say that he was going to check on some suspicious activity. Isn't that what we want police officers to do?
Mm-hmm.
To be proactive and to look at suspicious activity and to be able to see things that are happening and say, you know what, that doesn't look right. Don't we want them to get out of their cars, their patrol cars, and look and yeah. investigate and ask questions? Well, this 30-year veteran, as I understand it, 30 years, did just that. And he requested backup, and about three minutes after initially spotting the men, the officers responded about 6 minutes, and they found his body lying dead in a marsh. And some reports are that he was actually missing his gun, and there was three men that are still today mm-hmm. on the loose. There's a manhunt. Listen, 400 officers, as I last saw, 400 officers are involved in searching for these three men who they're suspected of murdering this police officer. We have a 1083 up for us. 1083. Steve, share with us, in the last 9 days, where have these police officers have been murdered?
It's in multiple states. Let me bring it up right here. In Fox Lake, Illinois, that's where Joe is from.
Right.
And you've got Harris County, which what we just talked about, Officer Goforth, that was actually in Texas.
This is just days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Days ago.
You've also got Trooper Vincent, which was in Bell City, Louisiana. Mm. And also Officer Nelson, which was in Sunset, Louisiana. So two in Louisiana, Texas, and Illinois.
Wow. And this is dangerous because we don't want to see any copycat killings. I mean, mm-hmm. not too long ago, we had the two officers in New York. I believe it was Wu and Ramos, actually, that were actually assassinated while sitting in their police cars.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, my goodness, what is going on? What is happening? And we don't want to have an environment in a culture now where no one wants to be a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to begin to start unpacking this. You know, what would it be like without law enforcement, and how we cannot partner with or give voice or give platform to a rebellious spirit, to a lawlessness and anarchy that would like to take place in our communities, in our cities.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, this has to stop. But something that was really offensive, I thought, came from a tweet from a young lady. I believe her name is Monica, 1084, please. And this is what she tweeted when Darren Goforth of Houston Police was assassinated. She says, "I can't believe so many people care about a dead cop, we would say police officer, and no one has thought to ask what he did to deserve it. He had creepy perv eyes." Like, where did that come from? She wasn't there. So why would you say that? And then why would so many people care? What is driving this callousness
mm-hmm.
to say that, hey, maybe he just deserved it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, we're living in a society where everything is like virtual reality. It's not real. And you have these young people, older people as well, playing these virtual games where they go into these virtual worlds where they assume an identity of a player that goes around shooting, maiming, hurting citizens, killing police officers, causing chaos and destruction. They're watching movies that do the same. And now when in real life, it's no big deal. Just like they, their heart wasn't broken when they were watching the program, when their heart was, you know, there was no emotional connection to seeing blood splattered.
You know, and you, as we're talking about this, I can't help but see, it's just like, we're experiencing such a disconnection from the realities that are happening, you know, and even as you're saying that across the globe, but as we're seeing now in the home front, what sticks out to me as we're talking about Joe, what happened in Illinois was that he was at work responding to suspicious activity, like you were just talking about before, at 8 a.m.
Right.
Most people are not thinking about responding to suspicious activity at 8 a.m.
At 8 a.m.
Exactly. You're probably getting your lunch ready. You're probably already on the way to work. You're probably entering work. What if he was responding to suspicious activity that was in your neighborhood? You would be excessively grateful for this man that was laying down his life to keep your neighborhood safe. What if it was the parking lot of your business? What if it was your business? What if it was the gas station that he was responding to suspicious activity that was across the street from the where your children play? You would be very grateful for that man that was responding to try to provide a safe environment.
Yeah.
We've got to connect that reality that so often we're believing that lie that says, well, that doesn't affect my life, so it doesn't make sense.
Right.
And it's just like, these are human beings.
They're human beings, and just because that you hear the other side of this, you hear like almost a justification, which there isn't any, that says, you know, well, you know, some people, you know, they've been treated wrong, and so these police officers have to be taught a lesson. Listen, Dr. King, Martin Luther King Jr. would have never condoned this type of behavior. In fact, you know, we can. You know, share our opinions. We can get other people involved. We can talk about the plights of injustice and get these things out. But it's how we do that makes a world of difference. We don't want to incite and chant pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon. What does that do? What does that do? But potentially incite other people to see police officers, all police officers, in a bad light, you know, and we don't, just as we don't want, you know, other people profile, we don't want to profile police officers. We don't want to profile anyone. Could you imagine if you were in an industry, mechanics, let's say automobile technicians, and one mechanic did something that was really bad. Are we going to blame all mechanics and label them as bad? Or we have a teacher that made a horrible mistake and did something that was completely evil. Do we need to be suspicious of all teachers? Whatever happened to be able to trust someone at face value and not to be able to put on them what maybe one or few people have done? And we've got to get back to a point of saying, wait a minute, you know, This has to stop. I'm not going to partner with that. I'm not going to give any voice to that. And look for ways how we can have a real conversation about real injustices without inciting violence. Because, you know, the end of this is a lawless society where now no one wants to be a police officer. Nobody wants to, be, you know, take a position where they filter out some of the dangerous elements. And I think a lot of people live very naive. We can live in our rural communities and in our suburbs and not be aware that there are some real evil elements in our community that want to do you extreme harm. Not to you, but to your children. And I'm not trying to incite fear or anything like that. I'm trying to speak reality. And because we're so we have this false sense of protection that because we have sheetrock and brick on the outside of our home, somehow we're protected, you know, or because we have a lock You know, we were asked the one time to imagine what would happen if you had no front door in your house and you had to go to sleep, you know, overnight with a front door that was removed off the hinges. How would you spend that night sleeping? And I've heard many people say, well, I couldn't sleep. They had no front door. We had no front door. And they said, well, someone could have access and someone could come in and someone could hurt me or my children or my wife or my daughter or my son and or my mother, my dad. So I couldn't sleep. Which really causes you to think, Steve, how did you have so much faith in just a small door and a lock? Right. You know, God has protected us, and we want a blessed land. We want to have a community that has unity and peace. When we come back from this break, we're going to share with you a previous segment that we did where, if you remember, I believe it was in Waco, Texas, a motorcycle gang got together, motorcycle gangs got together at a restaurant. And before you know it, the police showed up, a fight broke out, and they recovered 1,000 weapons, AK-47s, all knives, guns, 1,000 weapons. Imagine a society with no police officers and gangs up and down your community and your neighborhood with thousands of weapons on them. Listen, that's not good. We have to support law enforcement. We need to get behind them and work with them, not against them. But we're talking about law enforcement. I've never seen this type of hatred, this type of in concert, if you will, you know, on mass, if you will, really, and it's spreading around the country. We talked about the four different states in which, you know, four police officers have been killed within 9 days. And we talked in a previous segment about this lawlessness and what's this destroying spirit that Rick Joyner talked about. And if we attack any kind of, you know, protection from us, what's going to be there? And I want you to watch as Greg shares about what happened some time ago. I believe this was in the beginning of summer, in the month of May. You can see this summer things have escalated, you know, quite a bit. And back in May, there was a motorcycle gang or gangs, and the fight broke out in Waco, Texas at a restaurant, Twin Peaks, I believe. And they were able to arrested a bunch of them. I believe it was over 100 members. And they confiscated and found 1,000 weapons. I want you to watch this.
First, we want to go to Waco, Texas. You know, we talked about the five gangs that came together, over 150 people wounded, over 9 people killed, a shootout with each of the gang members, but also with the police, and how that fit in the context of the prophetic warnings that was been given by several people. One is Rick Joyner, how God has exposed this reality that would be coming in Texas. But they found over 1,000 weapons, over 1,000 weapons in that restaurant where those gangs were. As a matter of fact, take a look.
We found up to 1,000 weapons inside the establishment. We believe that those weapons were discarded either during or after the melee. We found weapons hidden under bags of flour, in bags of chips. We found a handgun stuffed inside a toilet. We found an AK-47 in a vehicle in the parking lot, and even so far as much as found body armor. This isn't your church-going crowd that came out to have a dinner with the family. This is a gang-oriented criminal element that was in our city to conduct criminal activity. The majority of those individuals arrested, shot, stabbed, killed, or not even from our community. I think this shows the level of violence that they thought was going to go on here and knew most likely would occur. And it just shows the potential for violence when you have criminal gangs involved.
You said there are knives, guns, what else was it?
Knives, guns, clubs, chains with locks attached to the bottom of them that were used to beat individuals, a rifle in the parking lot, and body armor.
1,000.
Yeah, we're approaching a number of 1,000 weapons.
That's not like
inside.
900 bullets.
No, we're talking individual weapons inside and outside of the parking lot.
What we're hearing is that, you know, this whole propaganda that's been pushed out over America and the distrust of law enforcement that has been promoted throughout our country, even from the highest offices. And people, law enforcement, are beginning to feel, you know, checked in regards to, I need to really risk, you know, stepping out, which is causing the criminal element now to rise up and say, you know, this is time for us to take a vacation. We can do all kinds of things. Now we're starting to see that take place in America. Over 1,000+ weapons. What does that mean? Prior to this shootout, all those weapons were on all these people. But when the police showed up in the shootout, they started shoving those weapons under flour bags and potato chip bags. All over the place, they found all these weapons. There were weapons for serious destruction and harm. And if you think about Waco, Texas, what is that, 3 hours from your house? Is that 10 hours from your house? Is that, what, 12 hours from your house? And they weren't from that area? Understand that if we don't turn back to the Lord, this violence will be loosed over our nation. You know, it's like a storm is being fashioned, and we have to wake up. We'll be talking in a future program about how there's this concept of a national police force. The reports are that they are beginning to train our own military inside of American territory, and they're putting a badge on their shoulder to separate them so people know this is actually military soldiers training, I believe, in the Southwest from Texas to California, going through the neighborhoods, going through stores and all. It's like, man, this so fits into the criteria of potentially Germany. We need to really wake up and think about, is this a Dietrich Bonhoeffer moment? Do we as the church need to respond to what's going on?
It's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to be alert. And as the church, we can't forget about the world in which we live in. Mm-hmm. We live in this world. We're supposed to have compassion. We are the change agent. We're the ones that are praying, may his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We're supposed to be demonstrating the kingdom. And we look around and we see all these things that are happening. Listen, this time for us to turn back to God.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for us to just knock it off and really turn back to God and cry out to the Lord and say, God, you know, forgive us. Because look what's systematically just being unleashed. Has been mm-hmm. the levels keep increasing and increasing and increasing. And I think that there is an evil momentum, if you will. It's like this powder keg, which with each event, what's it going to take before you have pandemonium
mm-hmm.
break loose? I believe it was Hitler who said that if you tell a lie long enough and loud enough,
mm-hmm.
people will begin to accept it as truth. And right now, there's a lot of people that are screaming loud, and they're screaming some lies that all police officers are bad. And that's not true. And it only takes a few to start to believe that and to take action on it. And I thought that it was interesting, Steve, that the police officer in Waco, Texas, when these gangs were arrested, 150 of them, they were not mm-hmm. from that community, which mm-hmm. means they were passing through. How many times do people think, you know what's not happening in my community, that's happening in another state,
yeah.
that's never going to happen here? Well, careful. People travel, you know.
Yeah.
they travel on the interstate. Before you know it, you can have certain elements in your community. I mean, we saw that with the hurricane. All of a sudden, there was a shifting of population, people in, people out. And all of a sudden, there's just a new element that's in your community.
Mm-hmm.
Now what are you going to do? If you buy into an agenda that tears down the filter of your community, how many people are sleeping at night,
mm-hmm.
putting their children to bed, thinking they're going to have just, you know, peaceful night, everything is fine, and they're able to sleep, Steve, and get mm-hmm. rest, and get up the next morning and you know, get in their cars, drop the kids off to school, and go to work, not knowing that there were people in uniform with guns circling and driving and patrolling the community to make sure that criminal elements, people that are wanting to do harm, were either not doing that because of their presence, or they were arrested and apprehended because they did do something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And how many times have we driven on a road, not just completely taking it for granted that something bad just happened here at 2 a.m., at 3 a.m. when I was sound asleep?
Yeah.
And so a lot of times these police officers are filtering, you know, some of the bad stuff that's happening that you and I never get a chance to see because we weren't awake at 2 a.m. or 4 a.m. or and that part of the town. They were able to you know, apprehend it and make sure they took care of it. And so what's happening now, we're seeing a picture being painted about law enforcement. We're seeing a narrative that's being formed, and it's not the right narrative. And I want to share with you that there are good community-minded police officers mm-hmm. who believe in serving and protecting, and they believe in having fun with people that in their own communities. I want you to watch a police officer. I happened to see this on Facebook, and I thought, wow, that's just funny. I love it. But it's a police officer, I guess, involved in a park, and he decides to get out there and play with some of the children there, jump rope. You got to watch this. I thought this was hilarious. Watch this. Was breaking it down, Steve.
As an athletic man right there, and with all his gear
doing,
on.
He was doing some double dutch.
There you go.
You know, when I grew up in Jersey, there was a lot of double dutch going on. And he was able to get in there and jump with his gun and everything. Mm-hmm. Listen, there's a lot of wonderful police officers that want to get involved in community, have fun. And these are images that you don't see. And if you don't have a proper perspective of what's happening, mm-hmm. you're going to start to buy into the narrative.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so important that you watch VFN TV and you get others to watch VFN TV, because we try really hard to not just present you the news, but we try to give you a biblical perspective, another viewpoint mm-hmm. to see in this. So we say oftentimes it's not important just to know the news, but you got to know what to do with the news that you do get.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're saying is, listen, you know, we have a great country. Many of us live in very nice communities with a lot of wonderful people. And if we don't want to lose our communities to criminal elements that want to, you know, do harmful things, we can list a ton of things that people are doing in communities that are destroying communities. We want to support our law enforcement, and we want good people to be in law enforcement. We want good mm-hmm. sheriffs. We want good police chiefs. I mean, I think about David Alexander, Chief of Police David Alexander in the city of Pensacola. What a wonderful choice. What a great choice for our city. And these are the things that we need to start praying for. Start praying for your sheriff, for your chief of police, for your law enforcement. And pray that people get behind them and that they do the right things. Listen, when you have to make a split decision whether to pull out your gun and it's between life or death, you know, everyone can second guess afterwards. Everyone can play, you know, Monday morning quarterback after it's over with. But it's a challenging thing. It's a very challenging thing. And so we want to be gracious. We want to be supportive. We want to be prayerful. I want to show you, and I want you to see what happened with a Porterdale police force. A young man was having a birthday, Steve, and his grandmother called up the police department and said, listen, is it possible for my grandson, he's having his birthday, to, you know, sit in one of your Hummers? They have a Hummer. And the police department, they had a little bit more than just that. Watch this.
Recently, Miss Barbara Ray came by the Porterdale Police Department, and she said that her grandson was turning 15 on Monday, and she wanted to bring him by and let him just look at the Hummers, maybe sit in them if it was possible. So I told her I didn't see where there'd be a problem, and I got with Chief Cripps. He wanted to definitely let him see the Hummers, but we wanted to go beyond that. We wanted to really make it special for him.
Here we are again to celebrate one of the local children in our community. His name is Juan, and his grandmother came to us and asking us for some help and wanted to make this boy's dream come true. As you can see, we've got the whole department here. We're going to go over there and have a little birthday party for him. I think it's going to be a great thing. It's something I want to see the community come together as far as the police department and just kind of move forward and bring that camaraderie back together.
Today is Juwan's birthday, and he's turning 15. He's very interested in police and the Hummers, so he would often go by just to look at them. He asked for his birthday if he could go sit in the Hummer. And so when I went by to check and see if he could come sit in the Hummer, they made this happen.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Well, it means a lot for our student. The student's parent actually came up and mentioned to me that the police department wanted to share in the student's birthday, and it grew into something bigger because we're going to invite some elementary students over as well as our two GAA classes. We're going to invite them out here so that all the kids can have an opportunity to see some of the cars that they have here, as well as tour some of the vehicles, and just make it a special moment for the student Juwan.
It's like God went before me and opened up a whole new heart, because I went to just get permission for him to come and sit in the Hummer, and they said, no, it's worth more than that. So it's just a blessing. God has just been so good, and now Juwan's world has opened up to a new place here. He will be involved with the police of Porterdale in parades and giving out Halloween candy and going by and working in the office. And it's like, yes, you know, a whole new world.
Your badge number is 325.
Today was a wonderful day. I'm very proud to be the chief. I have a good, great community backing me. I've got a political arena that backs me as a chief, and you know, we have a good city manager, and we have a good core group of policemen. And you know, I couldn't do what I do without them.
Wow, that was awesome.
Wow.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Man, I want to go ride in the Hummer. I mean, they swore him in. They gave him a badge. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are the great things that are happening. And so it's important for us not to be, you know, deceived into thinking that, you know, one, you know, just because you see some situations that don't look right or things that actually went wrong, these were some bad things that happened. It doesn't mean that every law enforcement personnel and officer is a bad person. Yeah. It's just ridiculous.
And it's important what the point that you had said earlier. It's like, these are fathers, these are sons, these are brothers. And it's just like, if you stay focused just on what you see on media, it's just almost just like what many are believing that lie to coming against them. And it's like, you know, these are fathers that have hearts. These are fathers that have sons. These are sons that have fathers and brothers. And it's just like, you know, the fellowship of just brothers of, you know, brothers in arms. And it's just like, you have to be able to see that to contradict what many of the news is saying or promulgating that would want you to come against them. And it's like, you can't come in agreement with that. And it's like, these are men in our communities and women in our community that we have to stand up for and pray for.
Yeah. And for us as believers, as Christians, because we're talking to Christians, right? As believers, it's important for us to line up our lives with the word of God, Romans 13. I mean, everyone must submit to the governing authorities, and God gives us instruction and how we need to pray for our law enforcement and pray for our community and pray for this third great awakening, pray for a revival, because that's what we need. We need a revival. Listen, when revival broke out throughout history, they would often say that the nightclubs and the bars and all these different places were empty Yeah. I mean, such a movement of God swept into a community, into a city, even a nation, that the police officers had nothing to do. Could you believe that? They had nothing to do because people were just going after God. Listen, this is the hope for America, is for a revival, a move of the Spirit, that people give their hearts to God, and we can do away with criminal elements and things that want to destroy, literally destroy families and to destroy your soul. It's time for us to turn our hearts back to God.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.